Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Chelsea Echo and welcome to your preview. Oh, my God. It's so nice to say that. For Chelsea versus Burnley. Football is back. No more international break. I'm pretty sure I got hypothermia watching England play Brazil. There was no Bovril, so I could only have tea. And I didn't even bother watching the England-Belgium game. But all I know there. Is that... Well, yeah, of course you were. I was going to throw to you for that, but you know, Tom's cut off.
I got too excited.
You know, Tom is here, so you know he got really excited talking about England. One of the only people I know outside of the actual, you know, tournaments who seems to get excited.
No, I wasn't really. It was just I'd never been to see England play live before.
Really? Okay.
Football.
I still haven't.
So
you still haven't?
When
never seen England.
Yeah, so when the opportunity came, I was like, yeah, fuck it, I'll go. And I was four rows from the front, so a good view of Yuri Tielemans' goals. He cooked, and then I had to leave early because I had to get up at 4:30 to get on a plane this morning. So I didn't see Bellingham's
Belly
celebration, because we're already only on this one. But yeah.
How was the flight?
The flight was fine. I had a seat at the back. In the aisle, like the back row in the aisle. I was the first off the plane, which is dreamy.
Was it one of those sort of short haul flights where you have to walk to the airport from the plane? Yeah. And nice. Yeah.
Where exactly are you?
I am in a French town called Grasse.
You were the brass?
Yep.
What?
You were the brass?
Yeah. For though you can't see.
Look, whatever you do with your time is yours. Just,
exactly.
You know, just don't talk about it.
Let's chop. I've got people to see here. Come on.
I'm going to pay you for an hour, but you've just got to listen to us talk about Chelsea.
And you can only hear my part of it because I've got headphones on, but yeah.
So yeah, for those of you that are wondering, Tom is indeed in France. I'll be in Italy for the Burnley game because we're a truly international outfit. And Jordan's going to be... You going to be anywhere interesting?
I'm going to be in Chiswick.
Ooh! Very nice.
Yeah.
Where they found
we're moving up.
Found
in the
Daniel
world,
Kaiser. There you go.
But yeah, but that is it. The usual suspects are all here. We're here to talk about Burnley. But before we get into that, obviously, we do have to talk about international break. We do have things that do need to be addressed. I think it's very important to talk about because this isn't just a podcast where we talk about the game. No. We talk about lots of other things. We have the fun part and we also have the other parts of the fun part that aren't necessarily so fun, but we need to cover and are very, very important. And I think one of the things we do need to talk about, gents, is we do need to talk about the statement from the Chelsea Supporters Trust. Have you boys seen the statement?
Yeah, saw it. Quite a few things have actually happened this week revolving around the club. Obviously, Mudryk played pretty well for Ukraine. I don't know if you've seen the goal, but it was sick. But yeah, saw the statement, wasn't too impressed. Tom?
Yeah, it's all a bit depressing really, which is why I'm excited to get back to talking about actual football. And you know what, Lou, you're the one who rallies the fans. You know, you single-handedly stop the Super League. So why don't you say your thoughts here on fan division?
I mean, I definitely will, but I'm interested by what Jordan means by he was unimpressed. What do you mean? You were unimpressed with the club or their response, or you were unimpressed with a statement from the Chelsea Supporters Trust?
No, just the club's response to it. I was disappointed. I mean, disconnect is putting it lightly.
It wasn't something which I think a lot of people can get behind. Look, I think it's fair to say the FAB do a lot, and they are doing a lot, and it's a brand new outfit, as is much of the club, which is why there are significant teething problems with the understanding. However, I do feel that the situation where it basically counters traditional fan forums, that is kind of a selected few that are under NDA, that can't actually discuss things, that mean that communication gets lost. So then when the Chelsea Supporters Trust come out and say they feel they're disconnected and things aren't happening, and then that statement comes in return, and then even the CEO's statement comes back and it's just very much a ChatGPT-esque response. I do think that there does need to be a sense of humanity. Look, I think the FAB are doing a good job. You know, a lot of things I've heard about, a lot of things I read about this week, you know, that they are trying to make a difference. But I do think that there does need to be a lot more openness. Having dealt with my fair share of American corporations over the past few months, and dealt with how that they do things, it's not really been something where it's dealt with correctly. I think that the whole situation, it's spiraled, and the Chelsea Supporters Trust has done what they felt they've had to. You know, I've been in one meeting where I think it was the back end of last season, where they discussed sort of how that openness was supposed to be there, and obviously how when Clear Lake did arrive at the club, that was something they wanted to pioneer almost. They wanted to have that, I guess, German football openness, but with the closed off nature of an American corporation, American run company. Now, whether or not that was going to work remains to be seen. And, you know, we've said that from the start of this whole process, but right now we're seeing a lot more teething problems and a lot more positivity. And we're seeing the same problems at Strasbourg as well. So I do think that does need to be a change. Props to the Supporters Trust for putting their statement out. Props to Fab for sort of coming back and saying what they said. And I would like to see an open dialogue between the two. I think that's very important. And I think it's important that as fans we know about that, people say that, you know, we shouldn't necessarily need to be in the know. It's not our club. And they're absolutely right in some instances. We are not the owners of the football club. We are not the proprietors. We are not the runners. However, if you own a football club in Europe, and this isn't just, you know, English football fans, you know, speaking. This is Europe. You are a custodian. You're not a proprietor. You are someone who looks after the history, who looks after the culture, who looks after what has been before you, and looks to build on it.
Yeah, you're a steward.
Exactly. And right now, I don't feel that's the case. And that is something which I think does come down to a lack of cultural understanding. And I do hope...
A bit ego.
I'm not going to say ego, because, I do think that... Well, we're not in the room. It could be ego. And I think in some cases it might be. I think we've said it openly on the pod before that how they're running things and where they seem to be sticking on their own track because they believe it's right without having the knowledge is ego. But in this situation, I want to know the full picture. I want to know everything we possibly can before making an educated judgment. You know, I don't want to just go and shout and scream and say things because I don't think... I know you just don't get things done in that way. You can make noise, which can generate the conversation, but I don't want to be doing that. That's not who we are. I want to have the conversation where we could sit there and go, okay, like, I'm not expecting to be in the room. I'm not expecting a full written response to us, but I just want to have some sense of openness. And I think that's really important. Just so everyone knows what we're getting behind. If you look at when Klopp arrived at Liverpool, he was very open, as were FSG, because they are aligned. They went, right, this situation, this is what we know. We understand this part of the culture of the club. We have where we want to go, but we have a football man leading the charge. I'm not saying this isn't a dig at Pochettino, by the way. But it's a case of, in any business, the nature of how it's run comes from the top. And I know that's a very Michael Owen comment, but the culture also comes from the top as well. And I do feel that there does need to be a change and there does need to be openness. And I understand that Bowley or nor Igbali have given, you know, their piece via press. I know that they're definitely not going to, because I think if you look at their character so far, I mean, look at last summer, you know, at a Lakers game, Igbali was asked, we getting Pochettino. The PR came out, oh, we'll see, don't worry about it, it's going to come. Da-da. Stuff like that, where they love the PR, they love to do that with the fans when it's the right moments and the good moments. When it's the bad moments, you can see that obviously as well with the British media and the British press, it's a case of that there is a witch hunt in some cases, and they're not going to come out to that because they want to have those conversations. But, you know, it remains to be seen what happens. What I will say on that, though, is obviously after saying all of that, that, and this is a bit of a shameless plug, but obviously we are part, as a pod, of something called the Chelsea Sideline Club. And with that, we wanted to build a place where we can have those conversations. And, you know, hopefully in the next week or so, I know we've got some stuff which we're building out, and we can have those conversations. There is going to be a place to have it. So, you know, make sure you're following the Chelsea Echo. Make sure you're following the Chelsea Sideline on Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter, and you'll know all about it. There is some good stuff coming. It is something worth signing up for, coming on this journey with us. But like I said, you know, I want to rally people. But look, I'm not Che Guevara. I'm not any of those fellas who've got posters made of them in their people's bedrooms that, you know, want to do stuff. But if you rally, I think it's important to rally in the right way. And there is a way to do it, and there is a way to have those conversations. And the way the Chelsea Supporters Trust have done it is the first step. Now it's just a case of seeing how things operate and how things go. Because what you don't do is just say Clear Lake out, get them out of the club, Clown Lake as they're called, with the stickers after the, you know, the last game that are all over Stamford Bridge. Guys, they're here for 10 years. Like, sorry to break it to you, that's contractually obligated. So you're going to see Clear Lake as the ownership of Chelsea Football Club till at least 2032. So it's up to us to make sure that they understand what we're doing and do make the right decisions and have those conversations. And the Chelsea Supporters Trust have opened the door. Like Jordan was saying, it might be ego, but it's important that we cultivate that conversation in the right way, because that's how people listen. Talking is how stuff gets done, not screaming. But yeah, I wasn't impressed with the CEO's response. I do expect better. And let's hope that there is some change and some things happening. But in fairness, we will move on with the football, obviously. Things are getting better. So, you know, as much as we are feeling quite negative about it, I think the big thing is that now that international break is over, the football is back. So, move into it. But obviously, before we do talk about football, let's be more positive. Let's be happy. Let's do a song and dance, guys. Let's get things going. Because speaking of songs and dances, it is that part. It's back because the football is back. Gentlemen, you've forgotten Bangers, please.
Who wants it?
Hey, Jordan, you've not got one, have you?
I've got a brilliant one.
Go on, Tom, you go first.
I've gone five. Keep on moving.
Ooh.
I don't feel like I have to say anything.
Never looked more proud of yourself than that, by the way, Jordan.
It's a brilliant one. I don't know where I plucked it from. It just popped into my head this morning. I was like, oh, wow.
Is that, hold on, how does that one go again? Is it get on up when you're down, baby?
Yeah.
Take a good. That is a banger, to be fair. That is a classic. I do like that. We still need to make this playlist. Who's going to be in charge of doing that? Because I'm not doing it. I've got too much stuff. I keep forgetting. Jordan, do you want to make the playlist?
Can do, mate.
That's four or five episodes in a row. Who's going to make the playlist? It's adding two or three songs a week. Anyway,
it's like we got a song every week, but we keep forgetting to make the playlist.
Yeah, I've gone for Young, Wild and Free, Snoop Dogg, Wiz Khalifa, all them brothers. I completely forgot about that song, and it's a banger.
It's definitely a banger. I don't know how I've forgotten.
Hey, man. I forgot about it.
So have we get drunk. So I'd forgotten about it, to be fair. I'd say that's pretty forgotten. That's... No, but I think, to be fair, if you think about the rules of the game, right? Somewhere else, like, if that came on in a club, you wouldn't... One, you've definitely not heard that. I've not heard that in a club for years. Like, years.
No.
You know everyone would be straight on the dance floor for it. You know everyone would be singing along. Mm-hmm. I think it ticks all the boxes, personally.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's Tom's best one yet. Because normally he trying to find, like, circumvents it with, like, a pub vibe.
Yeah, that's my vibe normally, but this is... Didn't know Bruno Mars in that song either, fun fact.
Bruno Mars is in that song.
Wow, that is a fun fact.
Oh, I might have to change my forgotten banger, because Bruno Mars just made me think of another one, but it's not really, it doesn't really fit. I mean, okay, I'm going to go with a different vibe, right?
It's a beautiful night.
It wasn't that, and I'm definitely not doing that, because that's not a forgotten banger, because that's at every single fucking wedding, and I hate it. You either have Bruno Mars, you have Bruno Mars, you have Ed Sheeran.
Taylor Swift.
Or you have, well, all right, Jordan, you got married. Nick, coming up for a year now, blimey. You've been a busy boy.
We're 7 months.
What was your song at the reception?
What was your first dance? First dance?
Yeah, that's the one.
Lover by Taylor Swift.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah.
The look on your face was like, Taylor Swift. Fair enough. Is there a reason why that was it?
No, not particularly.
You just liked it.
Did you have any choosing in this song?
No.
There we go. Blink twice if you need freeing.
Oh, dear. Well, yeah, I could safely say, listen, all I'm saying is, when I get married, because I will, you know, it's going to happen at some point, whether it's, you know, whatever happens, or me and Tom end up having to get a civil partnership, just, you know, make it more
stay away, ladies.
Yeah. I mean, put it this way. I mean, look, it will be a Taylor Swift free zone. That is one thing I will say.
Good luck with that, mate.
I can't stand it. The music.
Not a bit of you.
No.
Wow.
I mean, Shake It Off is probably the only one I can do, but I need to be absolutely gone.
I'm definitely going to be basic, and I hope that whoever the unfortunate lady is also enjoying the basic vibe. I want Love Story at my wedding, 100%. That's a banger.
Yeah, a bit of cheese.
Oh, no, I'm Venga Boys. First dance is Venga Boys. Just absolutely has to be the case. Can you imagine?
What? Boom, boom, boom.
No, I was thinking, you in my room. With the Venga bus. But yeah, anyway, my forgotten banger, because I haven't actually said it yet, and I wasn't sure if it was a forgotten banger, but then I had a little think about it, and I've not heard it for ages, but obviously they've come back into the fold recently. I've gone for a Chase and Status classic, and it'd be up for you two to decide whether or not it fits the bill, right? But I've gone for, from their 2011 album No More Idols, I've gone for Time with Delilah.
Time?
If you ain't got the time to give your love to me. That one. Banger. Do you remember that? It was either that or it was going to be Let You Go. Because I felt like No Problems, it's not forgotten at all. And any other Chase and Status track, I do feel like right now has done the rounds. But that one hasn't. And that is a banger.
It's a banger. I like that. But I don't think I've ever heard it before.
You've never heard that one?
Nah.
Interesting. Okay, well, that's...
I'm not sure you can count my music taste as a reason for it not to be a forgotten banger.
I mean, that is true. You were going to say you wanted, you know, Love Story as your first dance.
Absolutely will be. Not first dance, just somewhere at my wedding.
Are you going to...
Just around.
I reckon Tom's the sort of guy who's going to definitely propose to his girlfriend at Pop World when that song comes on, like that, like the other week.
I've also never been to a Pop World before, by the way.
You've never been to a Pop... I mean, that's my bread and butter, mate. That's what I love. So get me in a cheese room every single time.
Yeah, I like
time.
Cheese, but I've not been to a Pop World. I've been to other individual establishments that serve the cheese sliced.
Like the Swan.
I don't know what that even means, but yeah. I know what I mean. You know, like Swan.
I've still yet to have a night at the Swan. That is on my list. I do feel like you need to do it once. I've been to Inferno's twice now, but
I love Inferno's.
Oh, mate, I've not been. I'd never been until about 3 months ago, and I've been twice. I love it. I went Paddy's Day. It was fantastic.
Love. Inferno's is one of the best places in London.
However, I will not be setting foot in an establishment such as that for a little while now, gents.
Why is that?
Because, I think I told you this. If I haven't, it's been a weird couple of weeks. So, back end of August, as of right now, I am having a white-collar boxing fight. So, I am not drinking. I'm on like a strictly keto diet, which has been hell. And I have to lose the weight to get in a ring and get punched in the face, which is what I'm sure a lot of people are going to really look forward to. I'm guessing you two are kind of going to be there going, when I get punched in the face, but that's for this, that's for this, that's for this. But then I'll, you know, I'll,
who's going to be doing the punching, and where do I sign up?
Well, I mean, right now that's all up in the air. So basically, the situation is we've got to dot the I's, cross the T's, basically sort some bits out. I have to get down to a certain weight by the end of April to completely confirm it. So I'm doing as much as I can right now to make sure that that is going to happen. And from there, we'll keep working towards it. But I've got 4.5 months, full camp, basically just going for it once I get back from Italy. And yeah, that's going to be fun. So yeah, that's happening. But it's a white collar. I think it's going to be one of the ultimate white collar boxing ones. So all for charity.
Nice.
Good night out. And I'm expecting you two to be there because, you know, you're going to just want to see me get hit in the face. So yeah, so that's happening. So I will not be setting foot in any establishments until after that. But as soon as that is happening, I'm all over it. But anyway, gentlemen, should we get into the football?
No.
Oh, no. Of course not. We have something else we need to do.
You fucking bastard. How dare you?
Tom, what is it that we need to do?
Well, it's been what feels like an eternity since we last did one of these because of this international nonsense. Haha, Wales. Fuck you. That was funny. So we are back in the Premier League. We're back into Chelsea action and Chelsea are playing Burnley, and so in my section, Tom's big question of the week, which, you know, if you don't know, I always make it about the football team that we are about to play this week, Burnley. There was only one thing I could really ask when I thought of Burnley. I obviously thought of that scene from the Inbetweeners movie, and so immediately I'm going to ask for your favourite Inbetweeners scene, reminisce over that, and then we can talk about Burnley themselves.
Ooh,
there's so many.
Yep. Yes, there are. Oh, the Burnley one itself is a good one.
Yeah.
Are we counting movies? Yes, that I count movie, movies.
So, all right, can we do like one from the series and one from the films? Because there's literally so many.
Yeah, I'm not the gatekeeper of favorite in between.
I mean, you are the gatekeeper. Scenes. It's Tom's big question. It's you are the gatekeeper. Of
I think it should be one scene.
Yeah, okay.
One.
You're eliminating
movie or TV show.
One scene.
Any season. I'm gonna go with when. I think they go to the fishing resort and Jay's going around hunting for the MILF that fucks all the kids. And they get on the boat. They get on the little dinghy boat and the fish jumps in the boat and Neil punches it. And they're like freaking out saying, we need to call the Coast Guard. And Will's like, and say what? Help, we caught a fish.
And then, yeah, that was going to be mine as well. And then Neil beats the shit out of the fish and then they let off a flare. It's just so good. And then fucking Simon falls in and his knobs
out.
Oh, that's just... That was going to be my one as well.
I love the scene when Simon throws up on Carly's brother.
Yeah,
that's all that came into my head. When it's like, he's there and then... Will tells her brother what a dirty bomb is and he thinks his mum and dad are dead. There's just so many.
Not really relevant though, is it? It's another good one.
Okay.
Well, that's awful.
And obviously really from the movies.
Not really relevant though, is it?
Will, poo. Ugh. We could go on about this for ages.
I mean, to be fair, one which can kind of fit with current affairs as well. Obviously, have you boys seen The Gentleman yet? The TV series on Netflix?
I haven't. I need to.
Right.
I
haven't seen it.
So, obviously, Theo James, who plays the lead in it, was the guy who played the club rep in the film.
Yeah, the...
And I've watched the whole series, and obviously, I stayed for one major reason, which was the female lead. She's amazing. My queen, my moon, my stars. A Cockney Cleopatra, some might say. But then every single time I saw Theo James, I just couldn't help but think, I've seen shit up your nose, mate. Like, he's trying to do this whole suave character. Like, I've seen you sniff poo. Like, that's just like... It's you're the guy from the Inbetweeners movie, which was a struggle to get past. Especially when the female lead was... I can never pronounce her name. It's Kaya... I feel awful. I should
Gerber.
I should know my future wife's name.
Does she know that?
We were talking about first dances, so she needs to know about it later down the line, innit? Kaya Scodelario. She is Brazilian English. And she was Effie in Skins as well. That was another thing she was famous for.
She's married, mate. Sorry to break that to you. Watch out, Benjamin Walker. Is he the one you're fighting?
Watch out.
I might have to. Might have to be him. Benjamin Walker, mate. I'm coming for you.
Yeah, he's 41.
Well, they separated in 2024. It's all good. It's fine.
So it's fresh.
It's fresh. She's on the rebound, boys. We're in.
On the rebound.
10 things Kaya Scodelario can't live without. YouTube video.
Yeah.
Imagine. Number 9. Louis Benevente.
Oh, mate. To be fair, I mean, I wouldn't blame her. I am great. You know, I do, you know, love myself.
One of the characters.
I think, yeah.
One of the characters in this... Oh, no, one of the actors is Danny Ings.
What?
As in, he's not Danny Ings, but his name is Daniel Ings. The guy who plays Freddy in The Gentleman is called Daniel Ings.
That'd be an interesting one. How many footballers have the same name as actors?
I mean, that's a stat shag essential, that one, isn't it? That's exactly what that needs to be. But speaking of stat shaggers, it is the best part of the show. It's the only part of the show we're still with the theme tune. Jordan. Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, it's stat shaggers.
The Chelsea Echo presents Stat Shaggers.
Oh, we are so back. We are so back. I've said that 3 times. But this is why. This is why you're all here. Sorry if I could... You've waited half an hour to get to this point. Apologies for that. But Louis wanted to talk about his potential future wife. So there we go.
I love her so much. Love her so much.
More than you believe. okay. Chelsea Burnley. History of the fixture. These two teams have played each other 105 times over the years, and I thought Chelsea would have won a lot more than they have. They haven't. Only won 42, drawn 25, and lost 38. Burnley won quite a few of these games a long time ago, if I'm honest. You know, if I'm looking back now at the chart, there's a lot of red in the Chelsea column in the 1910s. So that's probably an explanation for that. But now, we don't really care about that. No offence to the people around back then. In the more recent times, Chelsea have been absolutely, completely dominant. They've won 8. They've drawn 2 of the last 10 clashes between these two teams. Back to a last Burnley win, you'd have to go back to the 11th most recent game between the two sides when Chelsea opened their most recent Premier League title defence with a 3-2 home defeat to the Clarets. Alvaro Morata's brace off the bench was not enough to spare Antonio Conte's blushes that day. But Chelsea have not lost since. Before that defeat in August of 2017, you have to go way back to 1971 for the last time Burnley left Stamford Bridge with 3 points. So basically what I'm saying is we have a very strong record according to the stats and history. In those 10 games, the 10 most recent games, Chelsea scored 29 goals, which obviously averages out at 2.9 goals per game. So we're scoring a lot of goals in this game, 4 in the last 2. In fact, 4-0 in May 2022, goals coming that day from Reece James, 2 from Kai Havertz, 1 from Christian Pulisic, and 4-1 in the reverse fixture at Turf Moor with an own goal, Cole Palmer, Nico Jackson, and Raheem Sterling. So more of the same, please, lads, on Saturday. Into the manager record, and again, it's a good omen for Chelsea. Mauricio Pochettino's record against Burnley is pretty much immaculate. He's won 8 of the 12 matches he's played against Burnley, and drawn 2, losing only once, which was at the back end of his Spurs tenure in February 2019. In those games, Poch's sides have scored 25 goals. Burnley only scored 12. So Poch is just completely dominant. And then the final part of the stat shaggers, the recent form of Burnley, is perhaps the only thing that may have a slight iffy feeling if you're a Chelsea supporter. They lost 5-0 to Arsenal, 3-0 to Crystal Palace, and 2-0 to Bournemouth. But... they regained a little bit of composure and perhaps put themselves slightly back into a fight to remain in the Premier League when beating Brentford 2-1 and getting a 2-2 draw with West Ham in their last 2 Premier League results. So still 19th, still 5 points from safety, but two positive results maybe give them a tiny bit of belief heading to Stamford Bridge against the manager they don't have a good record against and a stadium they do not have a good record against. But... let's see what happens on Saturday at 3 p.m. Anyway, it's back to you. in this studio.
I didn't really listen. I was just spending the whole time looking at Kaya.
Just fucking wanking again. Because it's talking about my brass earlier. I've got them fucking sitting in the corner waiting for me and you're fucking wasting my time. Stop. Jordan, tell him to stop.
I had to mute myself and just bark at my phone. Sorry, I do apologise. It's
Jesus Christ.
Anyway.
I prefer not to speak.
Important. I didn't realise that we had such a, let's say, evenly matched record in history against Burnley.
Fun fact, between 1954 and 1956, we drew 6 games in a row.
Oh, interesting.
But yeah, that's Stat Shaggers. Now we move on to not Stat Shaggers.
It's the best part of the show. It's the Echo 11. Now,
oh, yeah.
This, I feel like, could get a little bit interesting because...
Well, at least we know Romeo Lavia won't be in it.
Can you imagine playing 23 minutes of football and being ruled out after a £60 million move? It's like, how does that even work? How does that even happen? Like, yeah. What's wrong with the medical department?
What medical department? Do we have one?
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. That's something worth talking about. But, I mean, he's not going to be part of it. As for the rest of the squad, I do wonder what we're going to be looking at. So, in goal, I think it's fairly self-explanatory.
Georgie.
Big Geordie Petri dish. So, he's going straight in. That's a definite one. In terms of availability, I do wonder now. I actually wonder what our injury list is, because aside from Manchester United, we've had one of the worst injury lists in the Premier League, in our own world football. But right now, we do have, if I go through it right now, Wesley Fofana ruled out, Romeo Lavia ruled out, Reece James ruled out but expected to return. Potential return here for the 27th of April. Christopher Nkunku ruled out. Expect to return 30th of March. So maybe back for this game. Not 100% certain, but probably ruled out. Levi Colwill kind of being assessed as well. And also potentially back. Malo Gusto out potentially. Kanan Chukwuemeka out potentially. But all of these expected to return at around the Burnley game.
Malo Gusto is just ill though, isn't he? Or he was ill.
Yeah.
So I'd expect him to play.
So, okay, so we're looking at that. So realistically, you've got Petri Dish in goal. Malo Gusto right back. Left back is going to be Ben Chilwell. Was he? Do you reckon he'll play?
I thought Chilwell played quite well yesterday at Wembley, but I'm not sure. I don't know. I'm not sure he's ahead of Cucurella, to be honest. I think that's pretty close.
Tom, is that you?
I know. That's what this season. That's what this season's brought to me. I don't know. I've flipped my decision. I don't particularly like Cucurella still, and I do still think he'll be leaving this summer. But I've been really unconvinced by Chilwell all season, to be honest. I think that's partly down to Poch playing him at left wing, and it's kind of he's forgotten how to defend, which was shown yesterday at Wembley when he decided to try and play the ball across his own 6-yard box and boot it away. I think I would weirdly go Cucurella between the two.
Jordan?
Yeah, I can't quite believe what I'm hearing. So we've got Malo at right, Cucurella at left. Do you think they go the standard two, what has become somewhat of a standard two, Sim, in the middle?
Choice, yeah. Unless they play Thiago Silva, but I don't think that. I think
he's done. I don't think he'll get back in the team. I think, honestly, he might be done permanently, really. I don't really see him getting back in.
Dumb and Dumber at centre back.
Come on, give them their proper names.
Yeah.
Who is going to be a centre back? Be nice.
Trevor Chalobah and Axel Disasi.
Christ.
Yeah. The terrible twosome.
Dumb and Dumber. I'm not sure who's dumber. I don't know.
I mean, it could be worse.
Yeah.
It could. I mean, but I'm really not convinced by those two as a pair or individually.
Well, Benoit Badiashile is available.
I like De Zazzi.
Well, I'd probably play Badiashile over Chalobah. I think Badiashile and De Zazzi have a bit of an understanding. And the game they played together, was it City? Or was it Villa?
Yeah.
I can't remember. They played a game together where they looked really
the game
good.
We left with the game we let four
no,
in.
No, no,
yeah.
No. It was the one all draw when we fought. Ah. I think it was that game. There was a game where they looked really good together.
Oh, where Axel De Zazzi really stepped up in that game.
Another false promise.
I mean, I wouldn't say that. I think Axel De Zazzi's been probably one of our more consistent performers this season.
Because he's the only one who's been fit all season. That doesn't mean he's been good. He's just the only one who's been there. I mean, they do say availability is the best kind of ability. But, like, I don't know. I'm not convinced by him at all. He has had moments, but he's also, like, he's not like Gusto, who's 20. He's 26 or 25, so he's not, like, really young, and he's playing like that. I'm very unconvinced by him because he's had his moments where you're like, what are you doing? You should know better than that. Yeah. Like against Leeds. Like that's the most recent one I can think of. It's just... And he never seems to close defend... Like, he never closes people down. He just backs off, and then they shoot, and it goes bottom corner, and he's like, oh. Close them down, man.
Well, I mean, look...
Sorry,
I mean,
you uncovered some things.
It is something which, obviously, Chelsea... I've said they want to address the centre-back issue in the summer. And I'm going to force your hand now because you refuse to tell me on Twitter. And I want to know now, right? A few people have mentioned Branthwaite to me from Everton, who's just been linked with a move to United. But is someone who could be worth looking at. Why is that, Tom?
She's a baller. And he's 22, and he's been playing very well at a pretty average Everton team this season. But you want stats, which, you know, fine.
I've never heard Tom so depressed about getting stats up. What,
because
stats, all right, fine.
Because, I don't really know why, to be fair. I mean, I've got all his stats up here. He's been... He scored 3 goals for a start. That's nice. In seasons gone by, he'd be like our second top goal scorer. He's 8 clean sheets. What's a genuinely compelling stat? 135 clearances. I think that highlights just how shit Everton actually are. He's won more duels than he's lost. A lot of aerial battle. I mean, to be honest with you, this is why I side, because I don't like... necessarily deciding a player by their stats. I like stats shaggers.
It's part of it.
That's
it's part of it.
Yeah, I know. But, I mean, I'd need to put this into a list of all the centre-backs in the Premier League and figure out where he is. But from everything I've seen, he's actually not even 22, he's 21. There you go. Everything I've seen of Jared Branthwaite has been very promising. And if we're going to be in the market anyway, which has been my issue with us for a while, instead of going and signing... the latest centre-back who looks slightly capable from Monaco, can we sign someone from the Premier League who's, you know, used to this league and used to the physicality of the league? And there's Jared Branthwaite right there. I mean, especially if United are fishing for him, why don't we join the party? Because we're going to need, what, one, maybe two centre-backs? Like, let's assume Wesley Fofana is never going to play a full season. Then Thiago Silva's leaving. So that leaves us with Colwill, De Zazzi, Fofana, and Badiashile, I guess. But, I mean, I'm not convinced by him either. So, I don't know. It's an interesting one. But I like Jared Branthwaite. I'm going to sit on that. Just like you sat on your James Ward-Prowse one, I'm going to sit on Jared Branthwaite. And
I'm not going to shoot you down for it. You know, I'm supportive of this. I'd like to see a bit more of him. It's a bit like Kobbie Mainoo. Obviously, everyone was hyping him up over the past.
He was good last night.
Yeah, everyone's been hyping up for the past few months. I've been like, I don't know why. I've not seen enough of him. Then I watched him against Brazil, and I watched him all the highlights of the Belgium game earlier. And I was like, okay, yeah, do you know what? Fair play. Like, he looks like the real deal. Still wouldn't take him to the Euros, but that's purely because I want to see him embedded in. I don't want to put all this pressure on an 18-year-old. Yeah, I want to see him slowly brought
in. If you're
in.
Good enough, you're old enough. And I really don't know who takes that third midfield spot. I really don't. I'm not convinced by Gallagher in that role. Are we really going into another tournament with Jordan Henderson? Is that really the best we've got?
I'll cry. I think
in the big games, that's what we're going to end up doing because there's no one else who's put the hand. I thought Trent might get that, but he's been injured, so he hasn't had the chance. So I definitely would take Mainoo, but we'll see. We'll see what
we'll save our Euro does. Squad selection for the actual Euros. I think that's something we should probably do because we're actually midway through our Echo 11, which is why people are here. Yeah. So we need to get on with that.
Sorry, I was just putting Jared Brantthwaite into my Echo 11.
Right, midfield. We're going to go for the usual suspects, I'm guessing.
Enzo, Moises, and I guess Gallagher.
Mm-hmm. And then the front three is going to be Palmer, it's going to be Nico Jackson, and
anyone but
surely... Bill. Surely
it's got to be Misha.
Yeah, yeah. It's got to be Mudryk.
Also, Madueke, by the way, balled out in both the under-21s games.
Yeah, balling.
It was against Luxembourg, the second one, so take that with a pinch of salt. But still got man of the match, and he played well in the first game. So
it was a lovely finish. Did you see it?
I did, yeah. Yeah.
Did you see Harvey Elliott really as well, with that little Rabona part? Like, Elliott and Nonny Madueke seem like two players that are too good for the under-21s, but just... Currently, I don't know if they get into that England starting 11.
Yeah, they just fit the England age. They fit the perfect age, so they just stay there for now. But I'd like to see Nonny play more for Chelsea. I really would. So actually, I'm going to retract that. I'm taking Connor out of my 11. I'm putting Palmer into the middle, and I'm putting Madueke. I want to see Madueke start and Misha. Sorry, Connor.
Madueke, Misha, and
Nico
Jackson.
And then Palmer in the 10.
I'm not adverse to it. I think in a game like this, it's where you're going to have a lot of the ball. I think it makes sense.
Have the three of them even been on the pitch at the same time?
Probably not. And that's a bit of a travesty in itself.
I'm trying to think.
Because they're probably our three, obviously without Palmer, they're probably our three best attackers, realistically.
We'll have to see. We'll have to see. But I mean, look, with that being said, obviously, look, we've got some big matches coming up. Points-wise, this has to be a win, right?
Yep.
On that,
I'm not worried. I think it'll be a smooth 2-0 or 3-0. To be honest, I think we've turned a bit of a corner. I think we'll wipe them away.
How many times have we said that this season?
This is the time. This is the time. We're going to hit the running, bang on, finish seventh, get Europa That's League, it. Win Europa League next year. It's the Chelsea way.
I mean, I do think that we could be on our way for some European football. I think if you look at the teams around us. If you look at projections, because I sat down and I did this, right? I think we're going to be hitting the 58-60 point mark, which gets you 7th or 8th over the past few years. Apart from, I think, 1 year over the past few years where it's just been absolutely mental, where the points have been so high for everybody that it's just not been the case. But if you look at the average points over the past few years, it's been that 60 points. That's what we need to be aiming for. And it's not completely out of the question. So... You know, we'll have to see what happens. I think there's obviously some big games. Burnley, Sheffield United, they're going to be the two where we're hoping to pick up 6 points. Man United's going to be a huge game as well. So we'll have to see what happens. That Jordan's going to be there. I'll still be in Italia. Tom, I think, is going to be back. But
I'm still in France. Sure.
You're still in France as well. So we're fully international for that. So yeah, we'll keep you up to date with all that as they come. But look... A big win, I think, is completely necessary, isn't it? It's something where you've just got to tear this side apart, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ruthless.
Yeah.
Do you think that they'll be fairly open? Do you think, because one thing about Vincent Kompany, you do have to give credit to them for, despite being incredibly naive and stupid, is they have been playing some relatively open football this season.
Yeah, which is why I think we'll tear them apart. I feel like we normally have one game a season where we just go and batter a team, like 5-6-7 a team. I haven't done that this season, so I'm going to put it out there that it could be this weekend because we're home. It's Burnley. I don't think they're going to sit. They would be against. But then maybe now they have something to play for because they actually do have a chance. I don't know. But they have the second worst defence in the league. They play to our strengths, in my opinion. And if we get the team right, I think we could tear them apart and cause some serious problems.
We'll have to see. Well, we'll keep you up to date with everything for that game as well. Obviously, Final Score with the Score will be after the fixture, so make sure you tune into that. score, and Ramble's giving you everything they need to know about the game. And obviously, you get involved as well. If you do have Twitter, make sure you head across the spaces and get involved in that. Even if you're just listening, it really helps the lads. And if you want to get involved as well, make sure you do. Obviously, we'll be releasing our voice note reviews as well. I'll be sitting in a piazza using my data and probably my roaming because of Brexit, which means that my phone bill is going to be incredibly high this month. But it's all in aid of the Chelsea. So we will love you and leave you with that. If you have enjoyed the pod, please do make sure you give us a 5-star review. It really does help us out at the Echo. And we want to get up those charts. We are still the fastest growing Chelsea podcast on the planet, and we want it to remain that way. So tell your nan, tell your uncle, tell your dog. I'm going to get a massive Italian contingent to listen. That's going to be a thing. Make sure you follow the Chelsea Echo on all social media platforms. It's been me, it's been Tom, and it has been Jordan. This has been your preview for Chelsea versus Burnley. And we'll see you later. Ta-da.